Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rhodes won the Rumble. Rhea Ripley won the Rumble. But most importantly of all of us fans won the Royal Rumble. Because last year's was a bit rubbish. And this year's was, at a base level,
better.
Better.
Yeah.
And agreeable. And in the words of Laurie Blake before we went on live, which I don't know if you saw because we accidentally might have gone live before the countdown started, incredibly competent.
Incredibly competent. That's the best I can review it.
I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Laurie Blake, El Fagador. Welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast, where we're reviewing the Royal Rumble premium live event. If you haven't already, please give us a subscribe. Press the thumbs up button. Leave a comment down below with your thoughts on Triple H's booking and the era of brilliance. And get in your own ultra chats, Hunter chats, Sammy chats, I don't know, to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them over $5. But first, yes, Cody and Rhea won.
Mm-hmm.
They were the favourites going in. It was predictable.
Yeah.
And it happened. Is there anything wrong with that?
I don't know. I'm really torn because I feel like it's absolutely fine that the people that you wanted to win the match and that made most sense to win the match,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because Cody's probably got the best story around the title, bar Sami Zayn. Rhea is the most dominant woman in the whole division and is over like Rover, so it makes a lot of sense. But is that good enough? Like,
what are you talking about?
I don't know. This is the thing I don't. I've got this like bit in my head that's like, it's the Rumble. I want to see something surprising. I feel like. I was thinking about this with the just like the title matches and stuff like that as well. It's like it's this whole thing of like the WrestleMania period is so difficult to get right because it is always this feeling of foregone conclusion, and it feels like everyone has to go above and beyond to sell us on the idea that there could be an upset, there could be drama, there could be a surprise, and really what happened last night was they didn't bother with any of that. They were just like, here is what you wanted.
So what?
And sometimes when I get what I want, I realize I didn't want it that badly.
So let me hear what you're saying. You're saying that all these stories and wrestlers that Triple H has very competently built up since he got the book at the end of July, start of August, mm-hmm. and is then fulfilling on those storylines and characters that he has pushed.
Yeah.
That's when you go, oh, I kind of wish Vince McMahon was throwing some random crap
like,
at the wall.
Where's Shane McMahon? That's what I'm saying.
You want a Shane entrance, a Shane win?
Yeah, let's have it.
Look, there was stuff that wasn't to like. Kofi botched his latest impossible save attempt. Logan Paul looks like he's building a program with Seth Rollins for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Do you know
that zany?
I didn't mind that. I think actually this Rumble was really interesting because to go back to the idea of it being super competent, there just wasn't any fat in any of them. Like everyone who was in there was a reason they were there. they were either, you know, like even the Miz, who I was being like, oh man, maybe I don't want you in here. He was there to go out first.
Yeah.
That was genius. I don't think there was anyone, they were just the caliber of performer in all of those matches was just higher than it was last year. Like, you know, like,
undoubtedly.
Yeah. And it just, it made it kind of, it made it sing, but I feel like it also, the thing that was missing was it, there wasn't just this like super excitement when everyone came in. There wasn't that kind of, I felt like there wasn't always that moment where someone just got to just come in and do all of their best stuff. Mm. And I kind of I'm having trouble remembering a lot of what happened for a lot of the Rumble matches, despite the, you know, like Ricochet and Logan Paul colliding in the air. That feels like the big standout moment of the men's Rumble to me. And there's not really much else like of like, oh, that, do you remember when that guy did that thing and he came in and got that thing off and that really cool bit happened?
Yeah, I suppose really if you look at the Rumble men's match, you've got Edge taking out Judgment Day.
Yep.
You have a mirror image of that in the women's when Becky Lynch took on Damage Control. You have the Beth Phoenix spear on Rhea.
Mm-hmm.
You have...
Oh, my ribs!
Ow. You have Gunther lasting from one right to the very end. You have the extra bonus level that Cody and Gunther unlocked at the end of the match.
Yes.
You have Rhea Ripley going from one to
stage.
Winner.
Like, yeah.
At the end of what's the Super Mario Galaxy?
You
get to be Bowser at the end.
Oh, yeah, Odyssey.
Yeah, I was Gunther there. I was rooting for Gunther by the end.
Mm.
Yet that incredible moment with Logan Paul and Ricochet when Brock Lesnar and Gunther had a little stare down, didn't interact.
No.
I think there was plenty in that. I think it was one of the most adequately booked Rumbles.
Adequately?
With the right winner.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's, we'll dive more into the Rumble
Such
matches.
Competence.
We'll dive more into the Rumble matches themselves in a bit. But the other bit of Triple H's brilliant booking, and arguably this is why the men's Rumble opened the show, the women's Rumble was the second to end. It's because the real main event of a Royal Rumble show wasn't even the main event. It was the post-match angle.
Yeah, the 20-minute post-match angle.
Post-Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens, you had Sami Zayn finally hit Roman Reigns with a chair and the Bloodline beat him to smithereens.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't know it was going to happen, but we all kind of assumed it would.
Yes. But I think like, I have no notes about that because it was brilliant. I think even the call to have the commentary sharp from the moment that scene started sort of playing out was just brilliant. Like letting it all just breathe for as long as it needed. And the fact that like, you know, 50,000 people were enthralled by this, like, you know, this was just guys standing around in the ring. You couldn't hear them. They weren't mic'd up. And everyone was just like on the edge of their seat watching and waiting. And like every little movement from Sami Zayn, everyone was reading into being like, this is the moment. And they delayed that moment of gratification where he's going to hit Roman with a chair. And the amount of times that Roman turned his back on him, just like being like, now, not now. What about now? Not now. Like, ugh, it was done to perfection. Like Jey Uso as well, his whole like the kind of full step back through his character as well, where he's like he's into the idea of the beating up Kevin Owens, and then when they turn back on Zayn and Zayn does the thing, it's like it's all too much for him to kind of comprehend in that exact moment to like, what do? I don't want to beat up Sami Zayn, but I'm also really pissed off that, like, you know, I called you my brother, like, and all this stuff. It's genius.
The thing
he should have been
Jey
in a Rumble.
Yes. Yeah. Well, potentially.
He shouldn't. I think he should be Elimination Chamber. Something big needs to happen. Yeah. With Sami Zayn now.
The masterstroke with the Sami bit is, yeah, I agree, the Jey stuff, because you can look at this Rumble and the three big things off it: Rhea won, Cody won, and Sami Zayn turned on Roman Reigns, and that is what triggered the Bloodline kicking out Sami.
Yeah.
That's all relatively predictable. I could put a 90% guess on all of those things happening before the show started. But what took me by surprise, and I think this is the best way of storytelling or booking, is when the people in charge then go, oh yeah, but also this. I'm like, oh, that also makes total sense. I hadn't seen that coming. So when Jey Uso is the emotional heart of this Sami Zayn turn, following the WrestleMania XXX thing where he defended him in the trial as well, was just so layered, and it made sense, and it was the payoff to what is actually a 3-year storyline, because Jey Uso and Roman Reigns, that's not Hell in a Cell 2020, but the one before.
Was it?
Oh, I feel like I'm on Survival Series.
It was before. It was definitely before 2020.
It was 2020 when Roman came back, turned heel at SummerSlam. But then his first challenger was Jey, but they had two matches.
Yes.
And I think the first one was a straight singles match.
And people will know.
Everyone's probably screaming, it was Extreme Rules. I don't know. Anyway, that's... And then, Jay's been through that already. Mm. And Jey had to acknowledge Roman. And he acknowledged... He said, I'm going to pledge loyalty to Roman.
Yeah.
And then very recently... at Survivor Series, he pledged loyalty to Sami Zayn as well.
Yeah.
And when Jey Uso commits, he ain't turning
back. Oh, he's hard to win over. Yeah. He's like a swan. He mates for life.
But now he's got this cognitive dissonance of, but I've pledged my heart to two people who now hate each other.
Yeah.
And he can't deal. He had to walk away. So just, you can say it was predictable, but I think... It was predictable in the way that it was enormously narratively fulfilling, and they put a cherry on top with the Jey stuff as well.
Yeah.
So I just think Triple H, what he's done on this show, the layout of the show, having the Rumble first, which circumvents any no Sammy backlash.
Yeah.
And also just in terms of business, Vince McMahon went away and apparently hasn't come back to creative yet. And the product is better than it ever has been. I would say, consistently over time. And crucially, it's making more money.
Yep.
And the ratings are going up. And it's like, I always knew this would happen, but I had no actual proof that Vince's vision was bad for WWE. Mm. And sports entertainment was actually good. So now seeing Triple H break Royal Rumble attendance numbers, break Royal Rumble viewing figures with this quality product, that's perfect.
I think the benefit of competency and the benefit of things being
competency.
No, but I think the benefit of things being like even predictably booked is that, you know, if you can predict the outcome, it usually means that you're anticipating it from a perspective of like, oh no, I kind of want that to happen. And I think, you know, we've obviously spent years being swerved for no reason. Not to confound people's expectations and be like, wow, that's actually not mind-blowing. They're just messing with you for the sake of it, to be like, well, we just didn't want you to be like, well, that was predictable. And it's like,
swerve.
I do actually think that in terms of like, I think Sammy is the perfect example of something that you wanted to see happen. We all knew it was coming at some point. We didn't necessarily know if it was going to be like last night specifically, but that feeling of like, okay, well, you've earned the right to do this way. And seeing the payoff is wholly satisfactory. It's like, you know, it's that same thing of, you know, watching a good TV show and you're like, okay, well, I want to see the downfall of this character because you've made him such a bastard. You made this person so horrible that I have to, like, Joffrey. You want to see Joffrey in Game of Thrones fall because you're like, you're so awful. And I think in this same degree, like, Sammy's whole thing with the bloodline, you're like, we just know it's coming. Like, you know, the good Sami Zayn will out here.
I think it's a bad example to use Joffrey because George R. R. Martin on purposely
did not
give you the revenge
fulfillment. But you want
he
to see these.
He choked on some grapes.
but
I know what you mean. I totally
you want
know
to see
mean.
People actually fall.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Well, let's see what the SWAP Nation have to say. WrestleTalk.com/support. Send in your Zane chats there. We'll read out every single one over $5. This was left over from last night's live reactions we did. Shlomo Willick says, what if Sammy wins the belt at Elimination Chamber and defends it against Cody at Mania Night 1, while Roman main events Night 2 against Jay for control of the bloodline?
I'd be mad if Sammy wins the belt Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, but in Canada. It's kind of what they did with Eddie back in No Way Out 2004, where they had him beat Brock Lesnar. Mm. So Eddie went into Mania as champion and Brock got the Goldberg match. Went great, I hear. There's so many ways they could go. I have no idea what the best one is. Like my gut says, first, you do Owens and Zayn versus the Usos.
Yes, absolutely.
At Elimination Chamber. But I don't know how. If they win, then how can Sammy also go for Roman? Because Sammy versus Roman is the biggest match in the company right now.
Yeah.
But then Cody also needs a shot.
Yeah, I wonder whether you do Cody for one of the titles.
Split
because Cody only really wants the WWE Championship.
The one his papa never had.
So maybe they could potentially do Night 1 of Mania. But I think this is the issue, is you don't want Roman to have lost before either of those matches.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is like, this is where the conundrum is, right? It's like the idea of like, if he loses to Cody and Cody wins one of the belts, the Sammy match loses some power because Roman's already been beaten. I mean, we've seen Roman be pinned for three hundreds of times now, just the referee was counting it. I don't know how you get out of that, really. But I do feel like, I feel that Sammy and Kevin Owens versus the Usos is where they're going to go with this, despite the fact that Sammy Roman is the bigger match.
Yeah. But you've got to do Sammy Roman eventually.
Maybe they'll do Sammy Roman at Elimination Chamber, just not for the titles.
Justin McCluckey, what if they turn it into a 2 out of 3 falls triple threat? Sammy, Cody, and Roman. Each fall for a belt. Cody pins Sammy for WWE, and Sammy pins Roman for the Universal. It's overthinking it. I think the only way these work are if they're straight singles matches.
Yeah.
Matt Hennessy.
It's fixing the same problem, though. Either singles match devalues the other singles match.
We've got a bunch of chats from Matt Hennessy, version 1. I will say this after that angle between Zayn and the Bloodline. Sammy got to dethrone Reigns. The fan support is there. He's now WWE's biggest babyface against the biggest heel in Roman Reigns. I think because Reigns went too far, you do an angle where he is told he has to defend both belts. He refuses and is stripped of the WWE Championship as a punishment. You have Seth win the vacated title at Elimination Chamber, and that's how you get to the Cody match. I don't like the idea of him being stripped of just one belt.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense. But Matt continues, you then have Sammy run the gauntlet, going through the entire bloodline, setting up Zayn and Reigns at WrestleMania, with Zayn dethroning Reigns. Royal Rumble was a great premium live event. While I was disappointed Zayn didn't win the Rumble, I still think we are getting Sammy versus Reigns at WrestleMania. And finally, it's a bigger match than Cody versus Reigns. If anyone is going to dethrone Reigns, it has to be Sammy. I sent in my fantasy booking on Friday's prediction show, and I think a lot of what I book can still happen. I'm so excited, going to let it play out. Comprehensive.
I think the thing is, it is a bigger match than Sammy, sorry, than Cody Reigns, but Cody with the belt goes on more posters in my head.
Yeah. You've got to be careful about... You don't want fans to feel like they really want Sammy and then they get Cody. And you know, we saw in AEW, Cody is it's a thin line between people booing him and cheering him.
Yeah, yeah. He'll set himself on fire or something.
Good God.
Guys, look, I'm on fire. Guys.
Please.
Guys, love me.
Got another neck tattoo. Charles Berg says, adrenaline in my soul, gonna kick your ass. I'm Cody Rhodes. One interesting theory about the Bloodline segment. This is another person who Roman trusted that hit him with a chair. Surely Sammy has a role to play in Roman losing his title, right? I heart drama. Yeah, big Shield vibes there.
Yeah, so I think that could be another aspect of this is that, you know, the Sammy thing is all delayed until Roman's already lost the belts.
Mm.
And then that you can spin that out into a bigger feud.
It's tricky. I think you've got something special right now, and the longer you wait past Mania, the more danger it has in dissipate.
I think the only reason not to go for it is optics of to investors and channels and that kind of thing. In the same way, they didn't necessarily want Kofi as champion when SmackDown started.
And if Saudi Arabia buy them.
Yeah, so like...
You can't have Sammy as your champion.
Yeah, well, I think they could do...
They won't even let Sammy on their shows.
They'll do a WrestleMania moment where Sammy wins and then Cody will win it...
Right away.
The next night.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's such a...
It'll be the next
Cody night. Heel turn of media.
Yeah, exactly.
Scott Young, 2907. Just wanted to say a few things. Thank you, Triple H. And Vince, stay the F away. Also, is it possible to build it as Cody just wants the WWE title? That's all he said he wanted. And you have Sammy go for the Universal. It's tricky. I think if you do it like that, like Cody's meant to, you know, he wants all the belts, right? You're a wrestler. Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Gigi Baxter. No, I'm late, so hopefully you can fit me in for the Raw pod. I want to see the belt on Sammy, but ultimately Roman's reign of terror and seeing the error of his ways should come at Jay's hands. This all started with him and should end with him.
I think that's quite a good shout, actually. Like, I think that's the thing is that there's a lot of characters in play here now, and there's a lot to juggle with Cody now added into the mix as well. So, like, yeah, trying to satisfy all these little strands of the Bloodline story is going to be interesting. And they've done well so far, I think, to keep all the plates spinning. Like, you know, I think, like we were saying just a minute ago, that idea that all this stuff goes back to winning over Jay's trust and, like, how... he's so unwilling to move on things. And then when he finally gets over the line, he's like all in. He's like all in as Roman's right-hand man. He's all in on Sami Zayn. And now he's super conflicted. That is really smart. Yeah. That's like 3 years in the build. So good.
If it was any other time in WWE history, I would now be filled with dread because I would know they wouldn't deliver on all this expectation. Mm. They'd put a Goldberg in it, for instance.
Yeah.
But now Triple H has built up so much trust in me for his creative decisions. This is like how I feel with AEW. I'm even if I'm not fully on board, I'm like, well, I know it's going to get good unless, you know, there's a brawl.
This is the big test. This is the big test.
Sapphire says, Sami Zayn has won my whole heart. I have never been so invested. Meng, hi guys. This Royal Rumble was really good with both Rumbles and main event. The crowd was so loud. Can't imagine the Elimination Chamber. Also, are Sammy and Jay the tag champs now? If so, this is getting even more interesting. Thanks for all the work. Get Pete for this stream, please. Because he loves the Bloodline. Mm. Yeah, so Sammy helped Jay retain the belts on Monday.
Yeah.
I think not. But
no.
It's a cool wrinkle. Laksiman Narasimhan B has a few chats here. Top three lines from the show. Roman Reigns, you broke my family. Two, Jimmy Uso, he ain't your brother, I am. And three, Michael Cole, that kid is a little piece of ass. That was about Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, I love Dominic Mysterio. He was one of my favorite bits of the Rumble.
Yeah.
What a weasel.
They continue, while a bit of an apples to oranges comparison, the heartbreak towards the end of the show felt similar to the ending of the Festival of Friendship. It was executed wonderfully. Imagine the heat the next time Roman asks a crowd to acknowledge him. I got the same vibes. That kind of like how much genuine emotion you can have in the ring just through everyone's performances.
Yeah, it was so, considering it was a wrestling angle, it was actually incredibly understated, everything that happened there. And despite the fact they were obviously whacking people with chairs. It's the most nuanced chair shots that you ever see.
Because it wasn't like it was just a, oh, and finally, one more from Laxim and Marisim MB. Bit of a weird booking idea. What if Cody Rhodes merely challenges for the WWE title and Sami Zayn wins the chamber for the Universal title? Night one, Sami costs Roman the WWE title. And night two, Cody kind of returns the favor. Also, Sully for champion. I guess if you do it that way where Adam Pearce, for instance, goes, well, you can, this year with the Rumble winner chooses one shot, the chamber chooses the other, and we're splitting your belt. And then it isn't Cody saying, yeah, but I only want one belt. Like, you get around that, so that is quite smart. Then you have to be wary of not putting Roman, not accidentally booking Roman in a babyface position, because he will have to wrestle back-to-back nights for two titles. On the second night, whoever faces him is going to be a huge advantage.
Yeah.
So if Sammy is wrestling on night two, you probably want him to have the most brutally horrendous match on night one, so he's more injured going in.
Yes, yeah. Ooh.
So hard. Night one could be Sammy versus Jay. And Jay's mission is, I've got to kill you. And night two is Sammy versus Roman for Roman's final title.
I really like that idea, but I think that's way better if Roman hasn't defended the title at all. Like,
I think you do that anyway.
Like, yeah. I would still be like, this is the gauntlet, man. You've got to face Jay night one WrestleMania, night two you're facing Roman.
Just like with Bryan Danielson for WrestleMania 30. Had to beat Triple H first to get added into the triple threat. Jesse Woodworth. The one thing that I can't get over about last night is that after Sammy strikes Roman down with the chair, it wasn't Jay or Solo that struck Sammy first. It was the quiet, loyal follower that was Jimmy that struck the Imposter Uso first. Mm. Yeah, it was Jimmy straight in with a super kick. Yeah. It was like it was muscle memory. That's how well-trained Roman's made them. But Streamlabs occasionally loses people's usernames, so we don't have the person's name here. But they say, I fell asleep during the stream last night, but caught up and watched the KO Reigns match this morning. My daughter was absolutely enthralled by the, quote, nice man Sammy, as she watched with me. What an intro to wrestling. Thanks for all you do, Team WrestleTalk. So emotionally choked up.
I know, right?
Charles Berg. Now I, Charles Berg, who is beloved by everyone, am not one to toot my own horn. But on the Raw review, I believe I do perfectly sum up why this story is so good. I can't condense it here, so see it if you want. It's too long to rewrite. Fluffy Panda, Memberg for 6 months. Will they have Roman break Hogan's record? It breaks it in September 2024. I don't think so. That's way too long.
No, that is way too long.
Ruddius Grey Rat. I think any scenario where Sammy has to face Jay is an absolute waste of Jay's character. I would much rather he break off and do his own thing before reuniting with Jimmy later on. I really don't want KO involved at all in Sammy's success either. I disagree. I think you can put these characters all together and it creates even more interesting clashes.
Yeah, I think like KO has always been the one saying to Sammy, you know, I know that there's good in you. I know that, you know, you're not, you should be running with these guys, they're treating you badly, all that kind of stuff. Like, he's been the one trying to pull him out of the cult, basically. Yeah. So I think he perfectly fits into this storyline. And also because Kevin Owens now has multiple visual pinfall victories over Roman Reigns. Like,
Jacoste, just all kinds of stuff. Man, Roman's acting. In my opinion, the best actor there ever was in WWE. The way he crawled in the corner after Sammy's chair shot was a beautiful touch to the post-trauma shield split, and his anger-slash-denial acting when he beat Sammy was done to perfection. Yeah, I agree. Like, go back and watch Roman's lockdown matches when he's in the Thunderdome, and you can hear him just trash-talking people.
Yeah.
It is psychotically good. Anonymous, is it possible that Reigns told Sammy to hit him for Owens to get DQ'd? At what point in the match?
No.
He was passing in the chair. Out, yeah. Sammy did it, but now Reigns denies that he ever told him, causing the bloodline to turn on Sammy and feel bad for Reigns. No, I don't think that works. I think Reigns has got them all marching to his tune anyway. And finally for now, Ms. Rare Diamond. The Sammy chair shot and Seth chair shot are like opposite sides of the same coin for Roman. Mm. Their motivations are different, but both still ended up with Roman being betrayed, resulting in his family dynamic being decimated. Yeah. It's really good layered stuff. Keep sending in your Ultra Chats. We'll read out every single one of them over $5 at the end of the show. But first, let's talk about the Men's Royal Rumble match.
It was good.
You said it was incredibly competent.
It was competent. And I feel like it was one of those ones. It felt like a lot of this show just clipped along at a really quick pace. Like this Rumble felt like it was on fast forward for bits of it. Because it was just like, someone else is here, someone else is here, someone else is here. Almost to the point that, like, I feel like normally you get people coming in, there's a bit more kind of, there's the big reaction to their entrance. Like, they come down and then they do all their spots for the time limit. And everyone got to the ring here and was like, I don't know, like, this run-up's so long. Like, who knows how much time I've got? And then it's like, the next person's in. I think it was really, like, well-paced. But I just don't feel like there were a lot of standout moments early in it until kind of Brock. And then you had the kind of stuff with Brock getting eliminated and all that kind of bit. And then it built to this. I think the end of this match was just incredible, really. Like, I think when it got down to like six or so guys, and then that final two where Cody and Gunther were just like, we're just going to have a singles match now for a bit. And then we'll sort of resolve that, I guess. Like, that was amazing.
I think you're onto something. I think the ends of both Rumbles actually were fantastic. Like, amongst the best endings of Rumbles of all time. I even think the women's end was better than the men's end. Mm. Like, when they're all on the apron.
Yes,
all
that,
incredible. But, both matches did feel a bit like entrance mania. So just entrance. And people were popping. They were just excited to see who was out next.
Yeah.
As opposed to the stories in the ring. And WWE maybe lent into that by not putting as many stories in the ring as there usually would be. We got Pat McAfee coming out first. He wasn't in the Rumble, but he made a fun return to join commentary.
Apparently a complete surprise as well.
As Cole kept saying.
I had no idea.
I was definitely not told about this. but it was fun. I thought commentary, they've improved so much.
They're having fun as well, though. Yeah. I think is the other the I think the important thing about WWE commentary is like they know when to shut up now. Is that they're like getting notes to actually be like, don't talk for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like that would never have happened before. That Bloodline segment under Vince would have had Cole go, oh no, what?
Oh no!
Look at Sammy's face. He's sad.
Gunther and Sheamus started off at 1 and 2.
Amazing.
Really good idea. And both of them had very long stretches. I think Sheamus lasted 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. Gunther, of course, lasted right till the end. Miz eliminated first. Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston were in the ring at the same time. There was part of me that was like,
Is
Big E actually okay? But he wasn't. And I thought, well, at least Kofi will get his fun set. Oh, no. So was he pushed off the apron?
He was pushed off the apron and he was trying to land on a chair.
A wheelie chair?
Yeah, but the chair tipped.
That's madness.
Before he sort of landed on it, didn't it? And
yeah.
He sort of landed on it as it was already tipping and then just sort of spilled onto the floor. But I don't know, like, it felt like, because Xavier had just been eliminated, right? So Xavier, it looked like Xavier's job was to get the chair ready.
Ah, maybe.
And he hadn't got the chair ready in time to catch Kofi. Mm. And then Kofi, I think, had just been pushed with such force that he just went, this chair's going down.
Yeah.
And I'm going with it.
Yeah, it looked, if you go back and look at just the shot they cut to, it is the saddest heap of man and chair I've ever seen. Like Kofi, you can't see his face, the chair's down. You just hear Michael Cole over the top of the shot going, I think he's still in. I think he's still in.
I don't think both his feet have touched. And then they clearly they were just like, I don't know, can you get on the chair from there? Kofi just went, I'd rather not, actually.
No, I want to go home.
I want to go home now. Sad. Thanks.
So that's twice now in a couple of years. So,
but this and this could, you know, and this could very much be a factor in sort of why some of the match felt like things weren't kind of gelling, because when things like this do happen, if you have run through who's in the ring, who's going out when, what's going to happen when people come in, that can throw you off. And it did seem like there were a few moments where people would come into this match and then sort of immediately be like, oh, I don't know. Like Otis, when he came in, like we were talking about earlier, idea, like Otis runs into the ring and gets half set up for the caterpillar and then goes like, oh, no, wait. And then doesn't do it. And then sort of then sets up for it again and does it. And it felt like there were a few moments where there's just miscommunications in the ring and people are in each other's way, or they weren't like running in and kind of hitting their big spots, I guess. And
And
maybe that was part of this. There were also those rumors that, like, you know, Cody said in the presser that he wasn't technically cleared to compete in the match until the day of the show. So, like, you know, they're all finding out what they're kind of doing. Maybe there wasn't enough prep time to kind of go through actually what would be happening, because things were still up in the air until the last minute, even though they had announced Cody to be in the match.
Well, there was also, to add to that, Rey Mysterio. Mm. He was meant out number 17. He just didn't come out.
Yeah.
And then Dominic came out later, was wearing Rey's mask.
He came out next. Dominic came out 18.
Giving the impression that Rey had beaten up. Sorry, Dominic had beaten up Rey backstage. But apparently it was because Rey just got an injury the previous night.
Yeah.
So he wasn't around. So when these matches are so intricately booked, if you just take out one person like the Kofi Kingston spot there and Ray, it could all crumble quite fast.
Yeah.
It didn't crumble, but there was occasionally a bit of offness.
I think it went from kind of there's normally this sort of smoothness to the Rumble where it does feel like people come in, everyone knows that they've got 60 seconds to just hit five moves. And they just sort of go in and do that immediately. And this one felt like they were kind of getting in the ring and being like, do you want to take a move? Hey, do you want to take a move?
Chop.
And it just felt a little bit like that was all kind of being called in the ring rather than it had been kind of talked about beforehand.
Well, we got Drew McIntyre. I just run through some big bits, not everybody. Like, we don't have to talk about, no offense, Santos Escobar. But Drew McIntyre came out at number 9. He united with Sheamus.
Oh, sorry, how are we not talking about Santos Escobar, who came in and just hit a phantom driver from the top rope, like, immediately? He was just like, yeah, whatever.
It's no Logan Paul. That meant the Banger Bros were in action.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Graves said, don't call them the Banger Bros.
Yep.
And Pat McAfee always called them the Banger Bros.
Yep, every single time.
Brock Lesnar
was
also
calling Peacock the cock for a lot of it, so...
Well, he's having fun.
He did not care.
Brock Lesnar was out at 12. He just hit everybody with suplexes. Mm-hmm. Has a stare down with Gunther. I was like, yes! And then Bobby Lashley comes out and eliminates Lesnar. So Lesnar was only in there for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's, of course, to build the third match between him and Bobby. Yeah. They've had a sort of year-long program now. I'm cool with. That'll be exciting.
Mm.
I still feel like they've got one great match in them that's better than the disappointing first and the okay second.
Mm.
But I just want Lesnar Gunther now.
Yeah. There was a lot of Gunther in there that I was just like, I want Gunther this, Gunther that, Gunther this, please. I'll have a Gunther that, thank you.
Yeah.
It's like Veganuary for Gunther.
the meatiest man, ironically. Brock was very angry. He beat up a commentary desk. And then Baron Corbin and a referee. Seth out at 15. Dominic's out after Ray, we've already covered.
I love Dominic.
He's great heel. Finn and Priest came out at 20 and 22, so all of Judgment Day were together.
Mm-hmm.
Booker T was a surprise entrant. Of course, it's Texas, he's home state.
Mm-hmm.
He was eliminated pretty quickly after a spin-a-rooney.
Yeah, he was in for like 60 seconds, wasn't he?
It was a fun spot, though.
He did a couple of high kicks.
Looked good.
Yeah, he looked good, yeah.
But then Edge came in at number 24 and he ran wild on the Judgment Day, eliminated Priest and Finn, but then they pulled him out.
Yeah.
And that you know, will probably reignite a Judgment Day Edge feud.
Yeah, because they brawled all the way to the back as well, and then Beth turned up after Rhea came out attacking Edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Beth took out Rhea there.
I never found that strange that that wasn't really, like, that didn't play into the Women's Rumble in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a bigger factor. She came down to the ring at number one holding her ribs.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
Yeah, and like what, and what's, and I guess I get the thing is that you don't want Beth Phoenix to come out and interfere in the Women's Rumble because that's going to make Rhea appear more babyface than I guess she needs to.
Yeah. But have Beth as an entry.
Yeah, I think like fine. Them having their stare down would have been really interesting. Mm-hmm. And then you could have had like, you know, Beth getting closer to the finish would have also like upped the ante, kind of, would have made it people a bit more conflicted about the Rhea win as well.
Yeah.
And I think like, what you need to do is kind of in the situation where you have the heel like that, who is so popular and people do want her to win, is build up some other people in the match to be like, oh, no, actually, I'd love to see Asuka win. I'd love to see Beth Phoenix win because of this thing that's going on between them. There was no question.
Yeah.
Really. And I think the same thing in the men's match. There wasn't really a question in my mind about Cody winning or not. Like, I only really wanted Gunther to win because I was just like, well, he's just been there for so long. He's really earned it. He worked hard.
The diligence.
He's really worked hard. And also, I'd like to see Gunther Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that's another Gunther match for Gunthanuary.
Yeah, Gunthanuary.
Strowman was out next because he was a former Royal Rumble winner.
Mm.
No one cares about that one, though. He eliminated Amos. Sheamus and Drew kept trying to save each other, but Gunther pushed them both out. Logan Paul at number 29. He came in, the whole crowd booed him, all the wrestlers beat him up, and then he hit a buckshot lariat. And I was like, God damn it, you're good!
Yeah.
And then number 30...
He came out drinking his stupid drink as well. He chucked it into the crowd, so someone's made about $1,000 as well. People probably made more off that drink that Logan Paul threw into the crowd than they will off selling Cody Rhodes' weight belt.
I don't understand.
I have no idea.
I don't understand.
What flavour is it?
It's Logan Paul flavour.
Oh, good.
Just tastes of douche. Number 30 was Cody Rhodes.
I'm trying to find a non-swear word to say. I only had the C word in mind.
Thanks for not saying
it. Yeah, you're welcome.
Number 30 was Cody Rhodes. Did you also forget that Cody Rhodes had 100% pre-announced himself?
Counting down to 30, I was like, oh, who could at 30? And then I was like, oh, Cody's not
him. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah.
I was honestly, till Cody's music hit, I was going, I wonder if it's The Rock.
Who could... There was a bit of me that was still like, I wonder if it is. Who knows? Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, yeah, he did. They have been very upfront about this.
To be fair, when that match was on first, I did just go, oh, right, Cody's winning.
And yes.
Then during the process of the match, I'd just forgotten about Cody existing.
I'd definitely forgotten about him being in WWE. Because as soon as he came out, I was like, oh, this is so AEW now. What's happening? But yeah, he came out. Logan and Ricochet had this incredible spot where they both springboarded off opposite sides of the ring and clotheslined each other midair.
Yeah.
It was one of the most impressive Royal Rumble spots I've ever seen.
Yeah. And it was all set up because they were just on, they both were on the apron on either side and they went, you do a springboard. And he went, yeah, I do. You do a springboard, don't you? Yeah, I do. All right. And then they just went. There was no...
But then it was so
I don't know what they were saying to each other to get to there.
It was so awesome. Logan Paul evaporated.
Yeah.
For about 5 minutes. So much so that we get to the final four and what we think is the final four, the commentators say, it's the final four, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, Austin Theory, and Gunther. And then Logan Paul runs in and eliminates Seth.
Yeah.
I'm like...
So they get rid of Theory.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
So I was like... So Logan Paul was eliminated and he's suddenly trying to start a feud with Seth?
Mm.
And they were like, oh no, he was never eliminated.
He just rolled out for a rest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ricochet should have thought about doing that.
Yeah.
Instead he put his hand up to get picked up by Seth Rollins or whoever it was.
Help me.
He would put his hand up and, oh, I think it was Cody actually, just like pulled him up and was like, all right, out you go.
But yeah, it was Cody Gunther finally. The Cody Seth stuff was really good.
Yeah,
I thought they had a pedigree off. Mm. In honor of Trips.
And I think also the commentary did a really good job here, kind of calling out the history of those two with Triple H and like it all feeding back into the kind of wider wrestling story about Cody and all the things he's done in AEW to poke fun at Triple H. Like, that was all just a nice little thing to actually bring up and play around with. And I think, having those two in the ring again together was just a nice way of kind of calling back to... Do you remember all those matches that Cody had before he got the big purple Nurple? Like,
they were all with Seth.
Yeah, they were all with Seth. Weren't they good? And then to move on and be like, and now here's Cody having another good one-on-one showing with Gunther was just like, I think, really cool. A good way to remind people as well and make it feel like, you know, Cody took that kind of like focusing of Gunther on the chops, on the chest, and the way commentary called out that idea of, like, you know, the surgically repaired pec and all that stuff. It made it feel a little bit less lopsided that a man who'd been wrestling for an hour, who's a bad guy, was facing the guy who just walked in at number 30 fresh. So, like, it did enough to kind of be like, oh, this isn't like, you know, Cody's not being a dick here for having just like being the fresh man beating up poor old Gunther.
Yeah, 100%.
Because he picked up Braun Strowman.
Because again, you could have been in real danger of the crowd turning on Cody because they just get behind how awesome Gunther is.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little bit of booze, I think, when Cody came out, but not enough where it's an issue.
Mm. I think by the end of the match, people were completely behind him.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the quality of the guy's work.
Yeah.
Like, he got all those people on side. So many elimination attempts on Gunther. There were so many bits in these final 5 minutes where I was like, okay, Cody's won now. Okay, Cody's won.
Yeah.
But they kept teasing it out. And then, Cody won to loads of pyro.
Yes.
A lot of pyro.
To so much pyro that it looked fake.
Yeah.
When they cut to the outside and all the fireworks were going off, it looked like they'd just gone, you know, like the old Windows screensaver. It looked like they just superimposed that over...
You can start to see all the pipes getting drawn as well.
It was, and the word WWE is just bouncing around the corners of the screen. It was one of those ones where it's like, you know, when they set off fireworks sometimes and it's like the timing's wrong. So like all the fireworks go off.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. It was
like, I know we pressed the red button. God. Well, unfortunately, they didn't use up all the fireworks because next up we had the Pitch Black Mountain Dew match. LA Knight versus Bray Wyatt. The gimmick was a surprise going in, and it was revealed to be a Pants UV rave where they just put some, are they called black lights? When you it only shows up sort of UV colors.
Yeah.
So Bray Wyatt had some UV face paint on. LA Knight had UV pants on, and they fought around the ring and occasionally... sort of jizzed green liquid.
Yeah.
Green luminous liquid.
And CSI then... would have a field day with that.
And then Bray won.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my favourite thing about this match is they break the commentary table.
Yes. I did some investigating.
They break the commentary table during this match, which I didn't have to investigate very hard. But there's a bit where Bray goes to clear the table and he's tipping over all these cups on the table that have all this neon spaff in them. I don't know what it is. And he pours that
spaff.
he spaffs all that around the ringside. And then, LA Knight sort of clotheslines him through the table.
Yeah, they set up the steel steps right next to the table so they can launch off it.
But then the table's back. Later in the show, the table's just back.
And it's not like a table. It's an announcer's desk.
Yeah,
you can't just.
They just like pop it. I think they just like popped it back up.
Surely you can't reconstruct those things.
I reckon. Yeah, you must be able to.
I suppose so, but
because they never bend, do they? The announcers' tables. They always impact, shake, and then it's like the joints come loose. So it's like the sides just go like that, and then
it's
the
a
top,
working
and then
table.
The top falls down.
Mm.
So I wonder if it's just a case of you just put the sides back up.
Yeah, well, whatever it was, afterwards, Bray put on a different mask afterwards.
Yeah.
And this made him impervious to pain. LA Knight gets a luminous kind of thing. Yeah. Rave.
A glow big glow stick, yeah. Yeah.
And starts whacking Bray on the head, and Bray no-sells it. They chases sort of him. Chase him through the crowd to a production area, not the stage, but somewhere else. Mm. And Uncle Howdy appears, does a little dance,
yeah.
And then he does a
dive,
nowhere near LA Knight.
No.
And then explodes. What are we supposed to? Because that's literally what happened.
Even if you're
not in the arena and saw Uncle Howdy totally miss LA Knight, what we saw on screen was Uncle Howdy also totally missing LA Knight.
Yeah.
And then exploding.
Yeah.
I feel like they didn't have a finish.
I think it's got a deeper meaning.
I feel like they didn't have a finish and they just thought, I'll probably put some pyro on it, make it pop. What deeper meaning could this have?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'll have to go and do the explained episode about this Mountain Dew pitch black match.
How does Mountain Dew fit into the larger Wyatt lore?
Yeah, well, do they drink it in the woods? I guess they...
They need energy.
Yeah.
Like, for the hunts.
It's not actual the dew of mountains, though, is it? Yeah, is the problem. No. It doesn't come from a spring somewhere.
No, it's too luminous.
Yeah. What a terrible match. What a terrible premise. What a very overall pretty boring match. Why was it sponsored when it was Bray Wyatt?
It does lessen it.
And this is the thing. There are bits of the presentation that I'm like, I think the paint that Bray was wearing when the light was off looked really cool.
Yeah.
It was completely detracted from by the fact that there was neon Mountain Dew logos everywhere. And then when people started hitting each other with pink and yellow kendo sticks, that color was transferring to everyone too. So Bray had all this really cool makeup on that was then getting covered in bits of pink and yellow. The mask thing, I think, was... I don't know what it was about, but interesting. The idea of like... him sort of reverting back to being like a bit of a monster when he puts a mask on.
It looked a bit like Kane's open mouth mask.
But it doesn't make sense to me if he's already wearing the paint. So he's already done like the kind of like, I've made myself ready for war. I've like, you know, made myself a monster. And then he's putting on the mask, which is kind of in I guess, literature and all that kind of stuff. People do that and then they kind of become the monster more because it's a way of separating yourself from your own humanity, which is the whole fiend thing, right? So like he puts the mask on and becomes impervious to pain, a bit more of a monster, moves a bit more like a kind of horror villain. And then the whole, then the Uncle Howdy bit was just like, what has this added to this moment? Why, like it's just a
pyro.
And then also why do a spot that one didn't work, it didn't work when they filmed it anyway, but why do a spot that where the objective is to miss the person, because that's the safest way to do it. Because you're jumping into a load of cardboard, so you're going to miss the person, jump into that, and then the pyro is going to go off to kind of, I guess, obfuscate what's just happened. But like a huge chunk of the crowd see it happen and are filming it. Like I said this in the news earlier, so I am all for things being safe in wrestling. Like safety is important, but you also have to do it in a way that looks real so we can suspend some disbelief. If a man is just jumping into a load of cardboard near somebody and then fireworks are going off, I can't really suspend my disbelief.
They should at least connect, shouldn't they? Because in like the Blood and Guts thing, which is I guess the best comparison, Jericho and MJF, no, it was just Jericho, he was pushed off.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah,
the only problem is I saw him collide with a mattress. If they just cut around that, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because the crowd couldn't see that either. It was on the far side of the cage.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, here, I just don't know what they were doing.
It's that thing of like, why do things if you already know it's going to look bad? Like the same as when the same as when WWE put themselves into the corner with the eye for the eye match.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, well, you know, we're going to have to do this thing. We pop Ray's eye out and it looks stupid. And it was like, okay, well.
Well, at least that was in the lockdown era. And you didn't have to do it in front of a crowd.
No, exactly. But like, why you're writing the stories. You can do whatever you want.
Just have LA Knight run into a, right, just run out the arena And then you cut backstage and that's all pre-tape and it looks like he's just come out of the dark match and he walks into whatever this spooky, spooky realm is.
Yeah.
But at least you get round the awkwardness of seeing it. Do you think it would have been better if Uncle Howdy came out on that big platform and downed a bottle of Mountain Dew?
Yes, yeah. And then if he had a big hose full of Mountain Dew and he just sprayed LA Knight with it, that's that I think is the ideal version of that.
I can't think of a better way.
So, oh, and then Zelina Vega can be there dressed as a bottle of Mountain Dew.
Unionize, will you? yeah, this was rubbish. Absolute failure in my view. It's a shame because Bray Wyatt is a great creative mind. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, this is evidence that he fails to transfer that into actual wrestling.
Yeah.
All the presentation around it, great, but the payoff is never fulfills the promise.
No, I think rarely fulfills it.
And
I think this is the thing, is like, you know, take away the face paint, take away all the dressing of the match. Like, it still wasn't a good match.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, Alexa Bliss took on Bianca Belair after that. And this was super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Yeah.
Bianca Belair won in 7 minutes. That was it.
Yeah. This is, but I think this goes back to what I was saying earlier about, like, this is the season in which you're going to have to work really hard to make anyone believe that the other person in these matches, in these championship matches, has got even a shred of a shot at winning the belt. Like, you're going to come up with some sort of story reason, some sort of, like, a way of booking the match that makes you believe in the moment that, you know, there is the outside chance that Alexa Bliss might win here. Nothing in this match said to me Alexa's even got a shot. And I didn't, you know, and I knew that the real reason for this is, like, she's going to lose and then you're going to have some Uncle Howdy nonsense afterwards. But that's not investment enough for me to watch 7 minutes of, like, fairly dull wrestling where, like, you know, Bianca did a great flip. It was a really good flip. Stunning, even. 10 out of 10. But, like, Alexa, I think, had some fairly good offense at points. Mm-hmm. Like, she did the thing where she had a sort of tree of woe, slammed her head down, and then just, like, drop kicked her really hard in the guts. I thought that looked really good. Like, there were good little bits to it, but nothing made me believe at any point.
I did, and
the crowd weren't invested at all. Like, and I think the crowd obviously were also burned out from whatever the nonsense that just happened before that was. But they're probably all sitting there going, like, how's that commentary table back up?
Shows how invested you are in a match when you're mostly concerned about where that commentary table is coming from. I think you're right, though. This was really purely just to set up the next development.
Yeah.
A rubbish way to do it. And we didn't even get that much of a payoff. Like, the angle wasn't enough to make you forget how middling the match was.
Yeah.
Just a video package where they played a bit of Alexa's old playground set.
Yeah, so a bit of the playground set, a bit of her in the black makeup from WrestleMania with the blood pouring down or the goo pouring down. And then I think Uncle Howdy's voice.
Yep.
Saying, what was he saying?
Nonsense.
I think it was like... I think it was like, do you feel in control or something like that? It was like, are you in control? So, yeah.
No. Michelle McCool was also in the crowd. She was shown in the crowd for this. Remember that. Women's Royal Rumble match next. Rhea Ripley came in at number one. All my ribs for the spear. And then...
was fine.
Nothing happened.
For ages.
For ages. And then Roxanne Perez came out. I thought she did really well.
Mm-hmm.
That was number 8. Then Dakota Kai, Io Sky at 9 and 10. So all of Damage Control were in there. They dominated for a bit. They got rid of Dana, Liv Morgan. No, not Liv. Liv was in there to the end. But Perez, Natalia came back. Zoe Stark came out. She of the cool moves. Mm-hmm. Didn't really do any cool ones here. Candice LeRae didn't really do anything. But then Becky Lynch came out at number 15, and then she brawled with Damage Control. Lynch eliminated both Kai and Sky, but Bayley eliminated Lynch, and then Liv eliminated Bayley.
Yeah, immediately.
But the best thing in the whole match, for me, was Asuka.
Yeah.
So Asuka comes out at 17 with slightly remixed music, probably because they're trying to get rid of all that old CFO money stuff that there's a legal tangle over. And the crowd went nuts for her.
Yeah.
She hadn't been seen since November, but she got a louder pop than Edge in the men's. And she had just a slightly different look. Shorter hair, different face paint.
Yeah.
People say it's a lot more in line with the Kana character.
Yeah, the
pre-WWE.
Clown. Yeah. And well, she's been teasing that heavily on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it seems like she's going back to that kind of like darker character. But she had a new mask as well. She had like a sort of Oni style mask rather than a Kabuki mask. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's interesting.
I thought she was awesome.
Yeah.
Doudrop returned as Piper Niven.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Then we got a Tamina Doudrop face-off. And people popped. I was like, what? Why do people still pop for Tamina face-offs?
Because people go, big.
Yeah.
That's a big woman.
The reptilian parts of our brain.
Look how big that woman is.
Chelsea Green came out at number 20. I didn't quite catch who it was. I was like, who is that? I thought, oh my God, it's Peyton Royce.
Mm.
But it wasn't. It was Chelsea Green.
She got eliminated immediately.
Rhea threw her out in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So she is immediately the quickest ever elimination in women's Royal Rumbles. Mm-hmm. Is that a good sign on your return?
I wonder whether she is still injured to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Because she has, broken her wrist like
she's always
four
injured.
Times. Yeah. So like, I wonder whether, she wasn't like fully cleared. And, you know, I think also like this seems to be where they might be going with her character is this. Like, you know, they were doing this with her before she left WWE as well. Like, maybe they're just going back to the kind of thing they had penciled for Chelsea Green.
I hope it's more unhinged zaniness rather than comedic. I lose all the time.
Yeah, well, I wonder if it will be this will be a segue into Hot Mess.
Yeah,
Chelsea Green.
That's so, like, prime Chelsea.
They reintroduced Chelsea. They reintroduced Chelsea Green as the Chelsea Green that we saw for whatever it was a week, and then then they'll start to sort of build up to this breakdown of her character.
Yeah,
because Hot Mess Chelsea Green is the best Chelsea Green. So,
Zelina Vega came out dressed as
Jury.
From Street Fighter. There was a Street Fighter sponsorship bit. She fought Xia Li on the apron.
Mm-hmm. Who was dressed as a Mortal Kombat character, as she always is.
Great.
She wasn't.
Was it fun?
Yeah.
Did you like the reference?
I was like, that's a cool costume. Very good.
Reference.
She did a lot of standing like Jury does as well, because Jury always stands with one leg up like a flamingo. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Lacey Evans came out. I can't remember where she was when she left, but she looked like she was a baby face handing her military jacket to someone in the crowd, and then she threw it on the floor. So she's a heel.
Yes.
For now.
For now.
Michelle McCool, then her music played, and they were like, oh, you've got to go in. And Michelle McCool was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't know this was going to happen. Stepped over the barrier, got in the ring, dressed in like pretty much civilian
clothes.
She's
in her Uggs. She's wearing Ugg boots, they said on commentary 100 times.
I got a kick out of this.
Yeah.
I like the idea that if you are there and your music plays,
you have to go.
You're legally compelled to enter the Rumble match. At this point, you know, more people come in. I haven't written them down. And I thought, oh, there's a lot of people in there. We're at number 29 now. Number 30 is going to come out. And I thought, I bet Nia Jax is out at number 30 and she's going to clear house. And I was partly right.
Yeah.
Because Nia Jax was the surprise entrant at number 30. I thought, hey, she'll at least get down to the final two, Nia versus Rhea. Rhea could win.
Yeah.
But no, everyone ganged up pretty much, 11 people, and threw Nia out.
Yeah, so they did the big, she got into the ring, she confronted everyone, everyone jumped her, so they did the big, like, everyone's beating her down, and Nia did the big bursting out, screaming. Knocked a bunch of people over, and then Rhea just, like, steps in from behind, clocks her, and then just lifts her up and hits a riptide, and then tells everyone else to chuck her out.
A very tiny riptide.
A very tiny riptide, yeah. It requires the other person to jump, I believe. So she hits the tiny riptide, the little ripper, and then picks him up and chucks her out. I think that was fine use of Nia. I think that was about as much as we needed of Nia. It was good.
I like it when WWE plays up the threat of their own crappy booking.
Yeah.
So if they let Nia in there all the time and she eliminated everybody and then it comes down to her versus one or two favorites.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, they're going to make Nia win.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's even more cathartic when the person we like wins. Yeah. I also like Nia Jax. I know she's bit unsafe, but I think she's a fun performer.
I think this was fun though. I think what was interesting about the booking in these rumbles is they actually knew who they had a really good gauge, I think, of how the fans responded to every single participant of all the rumbles.
Yeah.
Because I think they did a brilliant job with, say, in the men's rumble, Cody comes in and Cody's the one who eliminates Dominic. Because they know how everyone feels about Dominic. They did brilliantly to keep him in for so long.
I just booed Cody.
Being absolute little dickhead. And then they just... like, he is such a little dickhead.
Yeah.
And then Cody comes in and chucks him out and everyone's like, yes. Same thing with the Logan Paul thing. They do the whole forgetting about Logan Paul. Logan Paul slips in at the right moment, chucks out Seth, who's very, very popular. And then Cody gets to eliminate Logan Paul as well. And that same thing of like, you know, these are all just little check marks in the Cody box of like, I like Cody, he got rid of Dominic.
I like Cody,
he got rid of Logan Paul, who, you know, we have mixed feelings about. Yeah. Like, and I think that same thing of like Rhea being the one to lead the charge against Nia Jax here did that same thing of like just telling you like, oh, you should like this person. They've kind of, and we're aware of how you feel about this character. And so we're using them in the right way. So I think same thing with the Miz coming in and being the first to be eliminated as well. Like, I don't think anyone was hankering for Miz to be in the Rumble for ages, but he's a great person to be the first one out. So I think it's just really well
competently chosen.
Yeah.
The final three were Asuka, Liv Morgan, and Rhea Ripley. Again, probably playing into what you just said, Triple H. Those are Triple H people, really, all come through NXT. He knows that the crowd will like them more than others at the end there. And the final bit was just magnificent. They're all on... Well, first off, Asuka goes to mist Rhea. I think Rhea ducks, and Asuka mists Liv Morgan.
When they're all on the apron,
So Morgan is totally blind, and she goes to hit Rhea. Rhea stumbles. Like, this stumble from Rhea Ripley looks so convincing.
Yeah.
And she slips off and she's holding on. Asuka's been eliminated by this.
Yeah, point. So what Rhea does is, as Rhea ducks the mist and Liv stumbles back into the turnbuckles, Rhea then does a 619, sort of, through the ropes and then, like, whips Asuka's legs out from underneath
her.
And Asuka falls out. And Rhea's, like, gathering herself and Liv's still just, like, flailing around. And so then Rhea goes to get Liv, gets clocked, and then she does this slip and a stumble, and she's like...
Oh, so close. That could have gone wrong.
Yeah, it was so clever, and it's so well done. And then Liv's blindly looking for Rhea, finds her hands and starts hitting them. And then Rhea does that full, like, leg pull-up thing, just goes, grabs her by the head, and just flips her out. That's such a good ending. It's
such
so
a good
finish.
Really good. Great winner as well. Mm-hmm. Rhea Ripley... in from number one right to the end.
Yeah.
This is the Rhea Ripley we wanted a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But she was just fed to Charlotte at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see who she chooses at this year's Mania.
Yeah.
I think the smart money is on Raw. Go for Bianca Belair.
Yeah.
But if Charlotte Flair's SmackDown Women's Champion.
The run back would be good. If they're going to, and if they do Rhea winning, that's, you know, they did have the best WrestleMania match, I think, the year that they had the match. I wouldn't hate seeing Rhea Charlotte again if the right call is made at the end of it, because I just think that's what went wrong the last time. But the match itself was exceptional. But I think Bianca and Rhea are obviously also capable of like truly exceptional stuff. So
that's the proper NXT, modern NXT, new.
I think there's a lovely moment as well in this Rumble where you get down to the final three. And, you know, like we were saying, these are Triple H prospects. These are people that Triple H really loves and the fans are behind them. And, like, again, it's that thing of it being the perfect call, right? Because I think in the men's Rumble, they got down to the final four and there was the confusion with Logan Paul. So you didn't get that face-off moment that you normally get, where it's like everyone realizes these are, like, we're coming to the end game now and everyone gets really absorbed into the match. And the fans clocked who the final three were. They had this brilliant moment where everyone was just going crazy for the three women. Mm-hmm. And there's just a moment where you just watch, and it's in WWE's editing, like you just watch this smile ripple across all of their faces as they all just realize, like, 50,000 people are going absolutely ballistic about them all being there.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. That's so good.
The magic of the Rumble. But the show was not main evented by a Rumble match.
No.
First of all, we got a Hardy concert. Probably unnecessary. There were 20 minutes between the end of the Women's Rumble match and the start of the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't need that.
No. Are you? And do you mean the start of the main event with a bell, or do you mean the start of the main event with Roman's 20-minute entrance?
It was probably the start of the bell.
He didn't need a run-up. It takes him ages to get to the ring anyway. He didn't need to walk. We've elongated that by 100 metres, Roman.
Go. We've already covered a lot of the Owens, Reigns, Sammy stuff, but anything you want to go into particularly?
Of the match itself. Mm-hmm. I think the match really was, you know, mostly a kind of do-over of a lot of their other matches. It felt very similar. And that's not to say it's not good. It's just we're in that weird time where you don't watch a Roman Reigns match for the match, really. You watch it to see what happens afterwards. Mm-hmm. And this felt very much like that, of just like, I'm just waiting for the end, really, because I know there's going to be some shenanigans. And, you know, we have to be getting to the end game of this now, because it does really feel like, how many more visual pins and low blows are we going to see? Because the matches are becoming a bit too formulaic now.
I don't mind it still.
I'm over it.
So in this one, we had a ref bump, then Kevin Owens hit the pop-up powerbomb, and we got the full visible pin.
Mm-hmm.
And then Roman Reigns, low-blowed KO.
Mm-hmm.
And then was also going to get the chair from Sammy. But Sammy hesitated, maybe, just a beat. And that was enough for Kevin Owens to hit a stunner and get a great near fall.
Yeah. Another classic Roman shoulder up at the fraction of a second before three.
But that was the moment where Roman was like, nah, no more of this. And he speared Kevin Owens a bunch. He got him by the steel steps. And I've never seen this spot before. I'm pretty sure I saw it for the first time only recently. And I think it was Darby taking a bump from Samoa Joe.
Mm.
Or in one of the Darby matches in the last month, where you are in front of the steel steps and you are just thrown on the back, thrown like on the step part of them.
Yeah.
So not into the comfortable side.
No.
Where you can just make a big clattering noise. Into the pointy edge of the steps.
Yeah. Head first.
And then back first for Kevin Owens. And then he was speared through the barricade, speared in the ring. That was it.
End of, It felt like, again, another great opportunity to put over somebody. Like, you know, I know Kevin didn't win the match, but it's yet more fuel of like, he's really good.
Yeah.
And they're building him up for something big. I think, again, that's, you know, at some point they're going to have to pay off on this fact that he's had absolute barnstormers with Roman Reigns and has literally visually beaten the champion to thousands of people. So, I think this show did a very competent job of picking people and, you know, showing all us what every single person that Triple H like wants to put over can do. I think interestingly what's more interesting who didn't get their moment to shine here, because there were a lot of Triple H guys in the Rumble. Like Johnny Gargano didn't really get a moment. Candice LeRae didn't really get any moments.
No Matt Riddle return.
Karrion Kross was out so quickly. So it's
Drew just chucked him out.
I think there'll be like there's more to read into that maybe than there is into like who, you know, because I think everyone who was getting built up got to have a moment and be built in the right way of like, you know, Gunther going, beating a record and going the longest and not winning, Cody winning and all that kind of stuff. Mm. Like everyone else, there's a purpose to everything that happened to them. And then there's people who just didn't really get anything. Like Ricochet got the biggest moment of the Rumble, I guess.
But that's more because of his athleticism.
No, but I think, they were like, you're going to get this really cool spot. And you know, Ricochet is a very, like Triple H loves Ricochet. So it's that kind of, you kind of see how people are being utilized. So it's weird to forget about the Johnny Garganos of the world or Karrion Kross just being immediately chucked out. So like they've got bored of him already.
Mm. Yeah, Gargano was in the Rumble for a period. I couldn't tell you a thing he did though.
No.
Well, overall, I gave this, because I was riding high after that final bit, I gave it 98%.
Wow.
Which is the highest rated thing I've done since I started doing the percentages.
Wow.
What would you give it?
Ooh. I did really like, I did like it. I know I've been saying it, it needed more surprises and stuff. I think the problem is that there were two not good matches on this show.
Yeah.
And the two Rumbles, while the two Rumbles you could realistically lose 15 participants from, of both of them, and so half the runtime of both. And
you want to make a men's and women's super combined Rumble?
Absolutely not. You would, yeah.
It's 2023. Like.
They can have that. Yeah, we'll take.
It's
the,
a people's.
We'll
lock
the two first 15 minutes off, and they can go on the pre-show, and then we'll have this back to 15 minutes. Like, I just think the it's that that you could lose half those matches because nothing happened in either of them, and then they both had brilliant finales. So for me, maybe like 75%.
Sort of a story of the whole show.
Yeah.
Amazing end. So good, it makes you forget about Alexa Bliss.
Oh, yeah.
Doing nothing. Well, let's see what everybody else thinks in our remaining Ultra Chats. WrestleTalk.com/support. Send them in there. We've got loads to get through. Anonymous says, what are the odds that the Elimination Chamber is Roman, Sammy, Kevin Owens, Solo, Jimmy, and Jay?
Oh, my God.
I would say zero.
Yeah.
Because unless Solo, Jimmy, and Jay are going to lay down for Roman, which I don't think is a good idea.
No.
It just doesn't work.
I could see them putting Jay and Roman in there.
Mm.
Like that, there's conflict
there.
The test. And there's a bit of there's a bit of friction there. But I don't think you want to use that match to play out just one storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Like you use the match to conclude one storyline where, you know, if Sammy wins it, that makes sense. And if another member of the Bloodline is in there to, you know, mess with Sammy, that's great. But then you'd still want the other pods filled with people who've got their own reason for going for the championship.
Hedner, 33. I think you have Cody win over a collapsing manic Roman on night one. Then you have Roman go insane and be a savage heel for a huge babyface win for Sammy or Jay. I mean, I just thought of this. Maybe just have a tournament for a new championship for Cody. I don't like that now I've said it. Bala Figs UK, Cody versus Reigns on night one for the belt. Cody wins, then Roman versus Sammy on night two with no titles on the line, and Jay helps Sammy win. You could do, but I feel like you'd want the championships, and you'd just have Roman beaten. So yeah.
I think because the championships are so tied to the story as well, like Roman's relevancy in WWE is all based on being the champion for so long. And the only reason he's running the Bloodline like such a tight ship is because he's the top dog in the company. Like, him losing the championships is the biggest deal. So, like, if Cody is the one that makes him lose the belts, that devalues the Sammy story because the biggest thing Sammy can do to him is take away the belts and take away the Bloodline.
Yeah. Matt Hennessy, version one, says, an idea of how to get Zayn in the WrestleMania 39 main event. Night one, him and KO beat the Usos for the tag titles. Night two opens with him beating Solo, and after he wins those matches, he's added to the WrestleMania event and wins the gold at the next premium live event, loses the world title to a heel. I think that's a lot. It's a lot to cram into those 2 days.
Do you know what the biggest thing they could do is Sami Zayn doesn't win Elimination Chamber. Cody Rhodes says, I'm cashing my Rumble win in, but it's for you, Sami. Cody gets cheered. Sammy gets cheered. It all works out in the end.
Cody's, how can I get more cheered?
Yeah, exactly.
Cameron Anderson. C. Anderson. Anyone think he loves me? He loves me not when Roman picked off the flowers from the lay meant for Sammy. Reminiscent of Roman seeing the footage from the tribal court and back and forth in his view on Sammy's behavior. Acknowledge Jay. That's a good point.
Mm. American Beauty.
Yeah. A little bath of petals that Sammy's in. KO being handcuffed serves so many purposes, not being able to help Sammy if he could, having to watch helplessly, and Roman's revenge for KO handcuffed Roman to the stage during the Last Man Standing match with the Lockbotch. I forgot about that. Good point. Yeah, I suppose maybe you redo this spot, another Bloodline beatdown, and this time Kevin Owens drapes his body over Sammy to protect him.
Oh.
Sort of like, that'd be a nice moment.
Oh, that'd be nice.
A hot tag to you, my voice is failing me.
This is another one where Streamlabs has lost the name, so sorry about that. Both Bliss versus Belair, this is also just regular Royal Rumble chats now. Both Bliss versus Belair and LA Knight versus Wyatt felt too short for what they had been building to as a blow-off. I think the Women's Rumble I liked goes Zoe Stark, but the Men's Rumble didn't create a credible threat to Cody for me. Thank you guys for everything.
I think that's fair.
I think that's what we were saying, really, is that I don't think the finish of either match was ever really in doubt. The only reason to have doubted the women's one was because Asuka was also still there, and I just like Asuka. She could win a Rumble any day of the week. Chris James Lilly says, "Hey guys, I enjoyed everything last night except the Alexa match. I'm sorry I seem aggressive, but I'm so sick of Alexa being seen as the downside of the show. She's capable of doing what Roman is. I wish they'd give her the chance. Hope she gets a big moment." I think a lot of the problem with the match is that there were no stakes, there was no story.
And the championship belt. She just needs to get on with whatever this thing is now. She just needs to pull the trigger, join Bray, and see what happens.
I think the championship belt. I think as has been proven, the championship belts are like the beginning of a story here, and what you add on top is what makes the match brilliant. As the Roman stuff all proves, is like the Universal title is always up for grabs. It's never changing hands, but like. It's all the stuff they sprinkle around there. Yeah. We got some more from Chris James, who says, "Hope she goes on a rampage between here and Elimination Chamber with Kana, Nikki in faction. I feel like last night someone made them go too finish too soon for all of her build these months. Very underwhelming. I also wish people who would not jump on her for this." And then to finish off, Bray said she and him will always be together, just like Kane and Undertaker are. She can put on good matches. Perhaps Adam Pearce should just be on-screen talent and not a producer, as last night lacked imagination. She still has hit Sister Abigail, which is endgame.
Yeah.
So I think that's trying to point out the fact that, she still went for Sister Abigail during the match, didn't she? I think Alexa Bliss can do more.
Yeah, I'm just sort of bored with what she's doing. As I am a bit with the Bray Wyatt, Uncle Howdy stuff.
They
need to move on to the next stage of this plan.
I think the thing they've proved with Alexa Bliss since they obviously got her off coffee, that, you know, she is actually a very capable actress. Mm. Like, she's very good at selling a storyline. So give her a storyline.
Yeah.
Give her something to actually respond to that isn't just like, here's a video package. And then you've just got, like, what do you do when someone just plays a video package at you and you just go, in the ring, and then you've got to get up and leave.
At least she's not foaming from the mouth, which was what happened when Charlotte Flair ripped her Lily doll, which was worse.
Wrestling. Another one that's been lost. Hey lads, must say I'm severely burnt by the Pitch Black match. Bray is probably my personal favourite character in wrestling, but unfortunately that nonsense might have been more than I can handle. The human-sized puppets gave me genuine Retribution energy.
You know what? The puppets at the end brought me back a bit, because when Bray first came back, those people were in the crowd. It's that whole like Wyatt Six thing.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. And he had six painted on his head.
Did he?
Yeah. He had Roman numerals for six painted on his head.
So I didn't mind that bit, but everything else I thought was so naff.
It just needs to resolve in a non-bombastic way. Mm. Like, I think what's better about it is it being just sort of low-key creepy and not really high-key pyro and neon paint.
Yeah, I think Bray struggles with trying to work his vision into actual wrestling.
Yeah.
He's got such an incredible imagination that probably in-ring wrestling can't portray it properly.
Well, I think it's one of those things where it's restrictive as well, right? Like, I think sometimes the idea of being a character that's an unstoppable monster from a horror film is difficult because nobody beats the monster in horror films. Like, you know, even in films where they win, the monster comes back for the next one. So, like, it gives you, you're only working with 50% of wrestling then because, you know, the other 50% is the other guy wins. So yeah, it's very hard to book, I guess. Blake says, "Hey yo, I completely understand what Laurie is saying. The Rumble was good, but there was definitely something missing."
The Blake's in agreement.
The Blake's in agreement. That's it. From the Council of Blakes, we have decided that there was something missing in the Rumble. Cameron Morin says Cody will get to choose the belt he wants, the WWE title, and Sammy will win the Chamber and go for the Universal title. Roman loses both, I think that's meant to be. But he does say loves both at Mania, one each night.
I like the idea that Roman just says,
I love both.
Let's just cuddle and snuggle in the ring tonight. I think that's, but we've already said it. I think that's problematic.
Mm. Mayor of Painesville, Dan says, this is Dan. Hello, Laurie. I'm very happy to have you here. Hope you are well. I am well. Thank you, Dan. And Ollie, hope you are having a good time. What an incredible event. Gunther being the Iron Man, getting Goldust's finisher at the end to end him, and the bloodline angle equals masterful. Dan popping for the Dan thing.
He's a happy Dan.
He's a happy little Dan.
If Zack Ryder returned, oh my God.
We're close. We've got Chelsea Green. Mm-hmm. Streaming with Matt says, when Vince was in charge, people moaned about rematches and stuff being stale, and WWE refused to do anything different. But as soon as they try something different, like Pitch Black, people moan. Wasn't perfect, but it's variety. Do better, fans. And then that emoji that's like,
Matt, I disagree quite heavily on this, because Vince did do a lot of different random stuff in his time.
Zombies?
Lest we forget the Zombies match.
The Zombies!
Match, which was also sponsored by Army of the Dead.
Yeah,
it's
the
another
pizzas
branding
thing.
Content. Yeah. So I...
What was the one where they just shot, like, water at each other? The New Day?
SummerSlam. Yeah, I can't remember.
Super Soaker, Super Duper Thingy Challenge.
So they did try this all the time under Vince. We criticized it then. We're criticizing it now.
I think... I think a Pitch Black match, I think there's something in that. I think there's something probably in it having more relevance to what's going on, it not being sponsored by Mountain Dew. It could all, like, there are many versions of this specific thing that could work. Like, the idea that LA Knight turns up for this Pitch Black match, has no idea what it is, all the lights go out, and then you have these, like, flashes of little light where you can see his reaction to stuff that's happening kind of in the dark. And, you know, there are ways to make it a bit more filmic, which probably suit Wyatt more, I guess, like... As soon as you add in the Mountain Dew and the neon stuff, it's just goofy.
Just Bray it's should
just
only
goofy.
Bray should wrestle more cinematic matches.
Yeah.
I know we're out of the pandemic, but this could have been a really fun LA Knight as the US high school jock at the haunted house.
Yeah, well, they've got, like, I don't know, they've got the ability to try it still, I guess, is the thing. Darth Cinema says, probably the happiest I've been in a Rumble. The matches were fun and the returns were entertaining. Kind of coming back was probably my highlight up there with Sammy hitting Roman. This was a really solid Rumble, especially after last year. Competent, even. Another one where the name has been lost. I'm sorry. I enjoyed the event overall. The psychology of having heels be the Iron Man / woman seemed a little backwards for me because I feel that's better for faces. Still, I love Gunther, and seeing Triple H's faith in him was amazing.
We've been through that. I think they did enough to make Cody the babyface at the end.
Yeah, I think he won you over. I think the same thing with, like, the Rhea stuff. I think it just worked. Like, there wasn't really... It didn't really feel like there were faces and heels in that match at all. It just felt like they were just going through a bunch of stuff. Rhodes Traveled has been a member for 14 months now in a row. Big up the Membergs. My favourite parts were the last third of the men's Rumble, including the mid-air crash. Mm-hmm. Return of Kana and Bloodline. Jay versus Roman rematch in future.
Yeah, I think that's your post-Mania direction, probably.
I'd love to see that again. Their matches were so good. The Camera... 777 said, the red mask and no selling is the calling card of the Fiend.
Yeah, big Fiend vibes from Bray at the end.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hook Nolan Evans says, hi lads, just in case SL doesn't list it, it's me, Dr. Hook Nolan Evans. Firstly, I love the presentation of Walter in the Rumble, and Cody, I feel, had a heelish performance getting Walter in the Nads and coming out at 30. Let me know your thoughts. Jam that jam.
Yeah, it was heelish. Mm-hmm. But again, I think he did enough over that. Selling the body part injury, and of course, Gunther's foreign.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, of course Cody's the baby face.
Yeah.
He's solved racism.
He's literally wearing the American flag on his body at all times.
Classic.
What a baby face. Dr. Hook also says, this time, just another note saying, this time in regards to the Sammy bloodline situation, there's a quote I heard, but I don't know where it's from. Family isn't who you're born with. It's who you die for. I love this story.
Big Fast and Furious vibes there.
Mm.
It's all about the...
It needs family. It needs more Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
We need to get rid of this Hardy guy from the thing.
Oh.
Vin Diesel should have done the opening promo to the Rumble.
Yeah, and his epic voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not getting The Rock. Let's have Vin Diesel.
He's probably not busy. We've also got... we need to thank Eddie Edwards, who's become a Memberg.
Have I ever told you my Vin Diesel story?
No, go on.
I had a friend who did an interview with him years and years and years ago. And apparently he's a super lovely guy, very into comic books. I think it was comic books.
Mm-hmm. He loves karaoke as well.
So talking about comic books and, you know, just talking like how we would normally talk.
Mm.
And then someone said, okay, we're going to do the shoot now. And Vin goes, oh, you want Vin? And he totally changed his voice.
Yeah. Because he's a real lovey. Like, he's apparently just really nice and cuddly and friendly. And then, yeah, does Vin.
Oh, you want Vin?
Oh, I've reloaded the thing, and we've got loads more.
Wait.
Miss Rare Diamond says, all I can say is, oh my God, it's Canna. Even though I knew it was coming, I still pop so hard. Triple H, please, please, please just let Asuka be a beast this time round. Can't wait for Rhea and Bianca at WrestleMania.
I'm optimistic.
Yeah. The difficulty with her being a beast is you've also got Rhea, you've also got Bianca, who are all...
There's nothing wrong with multiple strongly pushed performers.
No, there isn't, but they can't all be...
It's a healthy
division.
They
can't all be super dominant.
Yeah.
Because you've also got Becky. Chris Dudley says, got to say, it seemed dumb, but I was there last night about the pitch black match. As soon as the lights went out and the black lights came on, everyone around me was like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. They definitely put a lot of thought into this one.
Okay, well, glad you enjoyed it. I've heard a lot of live feedback that said it was naff as well.
I think it looked cool. I think there was potential for it to be cooler. Like I said, I just think if you take the logos out and the weird spaff, then it's fine. Will Campbell says, hi, lads. I actually picked a perfect card in Wrestle League.
Oh, well done.
Anyway, that aside, I love this year's pay-per-view. Gunther versus Cody was amazing. The Women's Royal Rumble Final 3 was as well. And the main event, and after that, absolutely ruled, particularly Sammy smashing Roman. Witty Comeback says, Sammy has to dethrone Reigns. Then Jay has to defeat him and disband the bloodline.
Mm.
Seth versus Cody at Mania for the WWE title, while Sammy versus Reigns for the Universal. Sammy wins at Elimination Chamber to get the title shot for the Universal title.
We'll see. We'll see where they go.
I like the idea of Jay like winning the head of the table.
And then he tries to rule it as a nice person.
And it doesn't work.
And it doesn't work.
It doesn't work at all. Yeah.
And he has to.
And then he loses his. Yeah. Oh, that'd be nice. Chris James Lilly again says, for the Roman stuff, perhaps you put all the people Roman has wronged over the reign with the bloodline locked out of the chamber. In the chamber, basically.
Oh.
And they all get a measure of revenge, but Roman still finds a way out.
I really like that, but maybe that's something you do down the line. I think you need to keep the focus on Sammy and Roman at the moment.
Yeah, and I think the problem, again, is like you run the risk of, even if it is everyone getting revenge on Roman, and that's cathartic, Roman looking like a babyface. Because he's up against it. Darth Cinema says, can we also just say how big a star they made Walter, especially that moment with Brock, felt absolutely massive. I hope this is an indication of where he's going in the future of the company. Me too. I think, yeah. The only thing I would have added to that Rumble, Dijak. Give me Dijak. New Lass says, the problem with all the stories people are suggesting about the bloodline is that we are all trying to go around what actually has to happen. That is Sammy winning. If Cody does win, he will not be booed. It will still be disappointing, though, because it's not Sammy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tricky. But I do have faith in them. I think they can figure this out.
Mm. And then the final Ultra Chat is just about Nia Jax. And it's
Seizure Parrot as well. Is anyone else worried this is leading to Sammy KO versus the Usos instead of Sammy versus Roman at WrestleMania? Usos could start trusting each other less and less until they implode, and then Roman loses to Cody because of being mentally distracted by the bloodline crumbling. It's a story. I don't know if it's the best story.
No.
But there's lots of ways to go.
The story to follow here is Sammy, I think, is their issue now is that yeah, they've built a really good story and they now have to book around the fact that they've done this other one.
Yeah.
And they've literally got years of history where if you win this thing, you get the match at WrestleMania. So maybe, I don't know, maybe Cody just goes, I don't know, NXT title for a bit.
It's the only one his dad never held.
Yeah, exactly, because it didn't exist. You get the 24/7 title out of that bin or near that bin.
Eddie Edwards has become a Memberg as well. Hopefully it's the Eddie Edwards, but if it's not the Eddie Edwards, thank you also,
other Eddie Edwards. Extra Eddie Edwards.
One last chat.
And the final one from Just No Yes says, Ollie, how happy are you that Nia is back? Are you as happy as Adam getting to play Monopoly? Thanks to Laurie. Thanks for the great content you guys give us on all the channels.
I would be lying if I said I didn't get a kick out of hearing, I'm not like most girls. And Nia Jax coming out. I think she's a very good persona.
Mm. They forgot to play the countdown for Nia. Mm. They just hit the music and then the countdown popped up at 7. And then they took the countdown off.
She doesn't need a countdown.
She doesn't need a countdown. Like she comes out whenever she wants.
We'll just have one last one. Andrew, the last airbender. I hated the commentary for the Women's Rumble. So many, who's this? Who's that? Was Pat always that grating? Can't watch now, so I can't wait to hear your reactions. But I actually really liked the Pitch Black match. Thanks for everything you guys do. Well, thanks for that, Andrew. Yeah, Pat had definitely not kept up to date when he was off doing college football.
Yeah, and I think like some of the Piper Niven getting to come out having sort of won back her own name and the commentators having a good joke about the Dewdrop thing. It's like, don't be dicks. Like, she obviously didn't choose that name.
But thank you everybody ever so much for joining us here today and for all your Ultra Chats. Please go right over to Wrestle Talk, main channel. Main channel? That's rude. Other channel.
The other channel.
To watch my Royal Rumble review if you want a more condensed version of this because that went up earlier. But for now, I've been Ollie Davis. It's been Laurie Blake. Jam that jam.
Jam that jam. Jam that jam. Jam that jam. Jam that jam.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.